Ishvara, Tatra, in this, Kim, who, Ishitavayam, is to be controlled. Tatapi, nonetheless, Rajam, O King, if you still think you are master and I am servant, Kalavarma, I may do. Kim, what? Te, for you. Translation. My dear King. My dear King, if you still think you are the king and I am your servant, you should order me and I should follow your order. I can then say that this differentiation is temporary and it expands only from usage or convention. I do not see any other cause. In that case, who is the master and who is the servant? Everyone is being forced by the laws of material nature. Therefore, no one is master and no one is servant. Nonetheless, if you think that you are the master and that I am the servant, I shall accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? Purport by His Divine Grace of Prabhupada. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aham met mameti. One thinks, I am this body, and in this body relationship, and in this bodily relationship, he is my master. He is my servant, she is my wife, and he is my son. All these conceptions are temporary due to the inevitable change of the body and the arrangements of material nature. We are gathered together like straws floating in the waves of an ocean. Straws that inevitably separate by the laws of waves. In this material world, everyone is floating on the waves of the ocean of nescience, as described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Miche, Amaraya Vasa Yacha Vesha, Kachaya Abu Buddha Pai, Jiva Krishna Dasa Eva Vishvasa, Kale Te Dara Bukhe Nai. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that all men and women are floating like straws on the waves of material nature. If they come to the understanding that they are the eternal servants of Krishna, they will put an end to this floating condition. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esa Karo Esa Rajo Guna Samupava. Due to the modes of passion, we desire many things, and according to our desires or anxieties, and according to the laws of the order of the Supreme, the material nature gives us certain types of body. For some time we play as master or servant, as actors play on the stage under someone else's direction. While we are in the human form of life, we should put an end to this nonsensical stage performance. We should come to our original constitutional position, known as Krishna consciousness. At the present moment, the real master is the material nature. Devi Eshavaramayi Mamamayi Duratija, Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Under the spell of material nature, we are becoming servants and masters. But if we agree to be controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal servants, this temporary condition ceases to exist. Om Gyanati Vinandasya Vinandjana Sarakaya Chakshuram Nitam Vena Dasma Shri Guru Vena Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Chananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasti Gaur Bhakti Vena Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My dear King, if you still think that you are the king and that I am your servant, then you should order me, and I should follow your order. I can then say that this differentiation is temporary, and it expands only from usage or convenience. I do not see any other cause. In this case, who is the master? Who is the servant? Everyone is being forced by the laws of material nature. Therefore, no one is master and no one is servant. Nonetheless, if you think that you are the master and I am your servant, I shall accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? So, Jagannath Prabhu is here offering himself to the king. So this is a really interesting section. And it's something in the purport, Prabhupada mentions this analogy of the floating straws on the water. And for many years, I heard this when I was a very young devotee. And for many years, I've been contemplating this analogy of the stream. And some time ago, many, many moons ago, I was managing our farming community. When we had our farming community near Mildura, in the border district. And this property was situated on the banks of the Murray River. Now on the Murray River, if anybody's ever been to the Murray River, there's always flotsam and jetsam floating on that river. So it was a very beautiful place, and in the mornings I used to sometimes come and chant my japa in it. Now this analogy of this floating debris on the river always perplexed me. And I had an opportunity to sit and contemplate and meditate about this, seeing in front of me on the river this floating debris, and they're coming together and then parting and going together and parting. And sometimes there'd be a thing called a willy-willy. Everybody know what a willy-willy is? A willy-willy is like a little bit of turbulence, like a whirlpool in water. So the flotsam and jetsam would be not moving together and they'd go apart, and sometimes a willy-willy would come and it really disturbed the whole thing. Still? Not loud? Okay. So, I was contemplating this analogy and it disturbed me actually a little bit, because I was thinking, you know, if life and our eternal life is nothing but flotsam and jetsam, that we come together sometime and then we drift apart, it's actually a really callous way of looking at life. People can have a callous sort of attitude if you take this analogy to a certain extent. I'll explain. If you have an analogy that, well, anybody that's in my relationship in this lifetime is simply here for a period of time and then they're out of my connection, like flotsam and jetsam. We meet in this lifetime, but then it dissipates. You can actually have a bit of a callous attitude. Actually, you don't mean that much to me if it's a close relationship. We have loving relationships in our lives with our partners in life and with our children and with our friends. But if we carry this analogy to the nth degree, saying, well, actually, we're all just flotsam and jetsam. You're my friend in this lifetime, or actually don't mean that much to me, because actually I'll meet somebody else in the future. So I was really considering this and contemplating this, and it was a bit disturbing, and for years I was thinking about that. And then I came to the realization that actually, as souls, we have the ability to have unlimited love. Because we're part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna loves everyone equally. And so as souls, we also have that ability to love unlimitedly. So, like, say for example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about the story of King Chitraketu. Remember that? The little child was saying to his mother and father, well actually, which mother and father are you? I had hundreds of mothers and fathers. So, in many cases, if you study near-death experiences and so on and so forth, a lot of people say that at the time of death, I'm greeted by my relatives from that previous life. And that may be the case. So how does that explain that we have different mothers and fathers? So it's a perplexing thing. It's really a perplexing thing. And another thing is that sometimes in our lives, we have loving relationships with our family, with our partner, our life partner, with our children, with our friends. And sometimes even in partnerships, in life partnership, in marriage, When a person falls in love, they say, well, you're my soulmate. We've been linked together for eternity. It's actually a fallacy, because it's not the case. But we may have had a connection in some form or another in many lives. Even as husband and wife, we may have come together, because if you look at the pool like I was looking at this river and the flotsam and jetsam floating in the river, some of the bits and pieces would continuously come together. But then when the living really came along, it was like, it was all separated. So sometimes we say, you know, you're my soul mate. And I cannot love anybody else. So many people make that commitment. You're the only love of my life. But then even in this life, sometimes we see that even though a person has vowed, you are the only person that I will ever love, if that partner passes away, after a very short time, or a long time, they might find some other person to love. And that become your life partner or your marriage partner. So this is where people come in and out. Similarly, we have a situation where we have our children. Now there's incredible fondness and love and connection to our children, our birth children. Very, very strong connection. You know, we feel that this is like an extension of us. These children are an extension of us, and I love them so much. You'll do anything for your children. But as we see, we can also develop that same sort of loving relationship with children when we meet other people. Now, Prabhupada is a classic example. On a spiritual platform, and this is why I titled this talk that I'm giving today, as souls we have unlimited ability to love. Prabhupada is a pure devotee, as a completely Krishna conscious personality, had the ability to love unlimitedly. Why else would a person of his age, and I mean I'm getting to that age where Prabhupada actually decided to go to America, why else would you risk doing this if it wasn't for an incredibly motivated, loving connection? So Prabhupada showed us that actually love for one's family members are there, but then you can extend that love to other entities. Prabhupada so often has said that, yes, I have my family in India, but now I have a little, and I have my children, but now I have so many children. Prabhupada really felt that. If you ever watch any of the videos of Srila Prabhupada or any of the conversations, and it's a really good opportunity, it's always a good opportunity to listen to the past times of Srila Prabhupada. In particular though, this is the 125th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada. And at this time it's also really good to reflect a little bit about Prabhupada's life and read the Lilamrita, read conversations that he had with his disciples. You know, and when you listen to those conversations that are there for us to listen to, you find that Prabhupada had that deep fatherly connection with his disciples. He actually says that, like, they are my children. So in the same sense, we as devotees also start to develop loving relationships with other people, and they will also become our children. And getting older in my own life, I realized that. I had my birth children, but in the same token, I've established relationships with other devotees who are probably as important to me as my own birth children. So this is that infinite ability to love. So this is an interesting thing, you know, this Watson and Jensen moving everything around. So Prabhupada here in the purport mentions this section of Kamala Sankara Shada's verse that is so important in Bhagavad Gita. At the present stage, in the paintings that I'm doing, everybody knows I'm doing this exhibition on Bhagavad Gita, the painting that I'm doing at the moment is chapter 3. So I had to really meditate on chapter 3. What is the content of chapter 3 before I could represent that in a painting form? So this chapter, headed Karma Yoga, is all about how one can direct one's life in service to Krishna. That anything you do should be done as an offering to Krishna. And then, through the majority of that chapter, Krishna is saying, you can do this for me, you can do that for me, this is how you should be. And then at the end, Arjuna has a question for Krishna. What's the, can anybody remember what the question was that Arjuna asked Krishna in chapter 3? Pretty important.
Why
is this happening to me? I want to be your servant. I want to do everything in service to you. But why? What compels me to not be able to do that? So, Lord Krishna then indicates from there, due to the influence of the mother passion, we desire many things by our needs and wants and by the order of Krishna, as pointed out in this report. Material nature gives us a particular body. So Maya, as again is pointed out in this report, becomes the director and producer of our play, of this play. Prabhupada points out here that our life is nothing but a play. It's like we're actors on a stage. So now today we have to take the role of a 67-year-old man, and we have to take the role of a lady, so on and so forth. But in actual essence, we understand that we are not these material bodies, we're actually spirit souls, and that we're moving from one body to the next body. That person that may be your wife in this lifetime, or your husband in lifetime, in your previous life might have been your worst enemy. Consequently, you may not have a very happy marriage, because there's a residue of some sort of animosity from a previous life. Who knows? So we're perplexed by this. So what's my character? When we come into this life, what's my character? Am I male? Am I female? Am I a hero? Am I a villain? These are all things we have to fit into a role. We used to perform plays here a lot at Melbourne Temple. And we used to have to rehearse these plays over and over and over again. So you really had to fit the part, right? And Aniruddha and myself and other devotees would act different roles. And I remember playing certain roles, and it was really hard, in a sense, to get out of that role after you're in that role. Like one role that I particularly remembered was I was an English gentleman. The play was called Treasure Island, and I was shipwrecked on this island, and I didn't know what was going on, so I had to act as an Englishman of the 16th, 17th century. And I would talk like, "Oh, what is going on? Why am I stuck on this island?" And I had to put on this accent. So for days afterwards, you can ask my wife, I would, you know, all of a sudden go into this English accent. "Oh, how are you today, my dear?" You know, it's very hard to get out of that role. So this is the same with us when we come to this material world. We actually fit into a particular role, and we think, this is the role that I have to play, but it's not the case. You're actually eternal servant of Krishna. So we have to remember that as well. And as a pure soul, we don't forget those whom we love. We don't forget those ones that we love. Krishna states that in Bhagavad Gita. We do remember those living entities that we love. Ultimately, when we become pure devotees, we love everyone equally as well. Just like Srila Prabhupada. He had no animosity to anyone. He was completely loved and loved everyone that he came in contact with. That's a pure devotee. So one time also really interesting when we were living up in, again to emphasize this point, we were living in Mawalama. At one stage we moved up to Mawalama for a short period of time, lived near the farm, near Goda. And it was very hard to get work there, the work that I was doing. So I was asked I thought it would be interesting if I could be an extra on the movie sets. If anybody's been to the Gold Coast, you know you've got Movie World there, and they produce a whole lot of movies there. Schwarzenegger and all that, they make movies there. So somebody said, but you know, you used to do plays at Melbourne Temple, why don't you get yourself a job working at Movie World? So I did. And again, to emphasize that point, one day I was asked to be an extra on this film that they were producing, an American film. And I thought, okay, no problem. All I have to do is stand around. You know what an extra does, right? An extra is just some person that walks past the camera and just moves around. That's it. Doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything. It's just a personality. And one time I was in this one film, and I said to my kids, I'm in this film, it's on TV, you know. And my kids went, oh, really, Dad? You know, so we switched on the TV. And I mean, if it was for 1 or 2 seconds, is there a so it was really quick. But anyway, this one occasion, which really made me think about this concept of what we're talking about today. I got this role as an extra in this movie. And it was a movie about a boy who got lost on a river somewhere. It's an American film. Anyway, we're all extras. And the boy had parents, a mother and a father. Now, for some reason or another, the father didn't turn up to do the filming. So this was an American actor, and he didn't turn up for his role as the father of this boy. So the producer came out and he said, any of you extras can speak in an American accent? And I said, well, sure, I can. I can speak in an American accent. Right. You've got the part. So I was this boy's father in this movie. The thing was, I had to have a relationship with the mother. Right? So here I was acting as this woman's husband. And you know what? You start to think, this woman is my wife. In a very subtle way, in a very fleeting way, for you to act correctly, I have to sort of feel that this person is my wife. Otherwise my acting wouldn't be right. So then I really started to think about this concept. And actually it's a case. When we're here in the material world, we really have to put on an act for who we are at this point of time. So this was really, really interesting. And we see so many times, you know, melodramas, TV soap operas, you know, where the person is having all these different relationships. Well, actually, as Prabhupada points out, they're all melodramas. They're all insignificant things. Life is actually one big soap opera. We've developed so many different things. When you're not a devotee, life is just one big soap opera. Days of our lives. Days of our lives. They've actually scrapped it down. There was a TV show right from when I was a teenager, going right up to recently, called Days of Our Lives. Like the hours through the, like the sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. When I used to come home from school, sometimes you'd watch this. And it was all this tragedy and love between people and breakups and so on and so forth, just like the little thing. So many melodramas, so many films, so many TV things, and some may be interesting. Because sometime we may watch a movie or something, and it may be interesting, there may be some intrigue there, maybe an Agatha Christie thing, and we're trying to figure out who did it, who did that murder, who did it, you know. And that may be interesting, but generally, ultimately, they're all nonsensical. It's all a phantasmagoria. It's all unreal. So our duty in life, as it's pointed out in the reports here, is to finish up being floating stores and actually act out as a servant and master in different episodes. That's what we're doing. One day we're a master, the next day we're a servant. Even in our lives, we have to take on those roles as servant and master. When we start off as a career, we're the servant of our boss. Oh yes, sir, I'll do whatever. When we were servants to our parents, yes, I'll do whatever you want. And then you become a master. You have children of your own, all of a sudden you're the master of the house. Or you run a company and you're the master of your employees. So our constitutional position, though, is that of servant to the Supreme Master, which is Krishna. So we come to a point of understanding that this is our real position, our real constitutional position, that I am a servant of Krishna. And Krishna is the all-loving father and mother, as is pointed out in Bhagavad Gita. So this all-loving personality infinitely loves each and every one of us individually. Each and every one of us. You know, we may have a concept, oh, my mom really loves me. I'm really mommy's boy. You know, mom really loved me. Some of our friends actually, it's quite surprising, especially Indian families, how much a mother's love is given to especially their sons. Oh, they do everything for their son, you know. They wake him up in the morning, wake up, my darling. You know, the kid doesn't even wake up for himself. The mother comes and wakes him up. He wants something to eat. You know, I don't, from a Western point of view, it's just like, you got to be kidding. And even to the extent, and it happens to the ladies as well, the mothers are so attached to their children. Like, I know some friends of ours who, when they go to India, they're not allowed to do anything, right? Because mum does everything for them, even feed them. This is a fully grown adult with children of their own, and mother will feed their daughter or their son. This is the attachment. This is so much, you know. So anyway, it's quite strange for a Western person to see that. But we also have that attachment and that love for our children. So we understand that we're part and parcel of Krishna. He has the infinite capacity to love each and every one of us. As we grow in our Krishna consciousness, we start to develop that also. In smaller and smaller increments, we start to love everybody equally, which is an amazing thing. So Jadbharat, in this life, came to the position of teacher. He was a teacher, he was a pure devotee. And he was a teacher, or the master, to King Mahugana. But he really even said, oh, which role would you like me to play? To King Mahugana, which role would you like me to play? Do you want me to be the servant? Okay. Tell me what I should do. This is the mood. Because it meant nothing to him. It was all play. It was a pure devotee of the Lord. Before, even though he was a realized soul, he acted as though he was ignorant. You know, that he was completely ignorant to everything that was going on. Until the right time came about when he could preach, that he could teach. Beforehand, people used to abuse him, his brothers used to push him around. It is the whole story of Jadbharat, you know? And now he's coming to this point, after the whole Kalakuni incident, now he's coming to the point where King Mahugana has started to think, this guy is special. And now his real purpose in life is coming out as a pure devotee to teach. So teaching and presenting Krishna consciousness is a great thing. So a fool is, Prabhupada says, a fool is revealed by his speech. So he was no longer a fool, because what he was teaching was pure Krishna consciousness. And what he will teach for the chapters ahead is pure Krishna consciousness. So we were so fortunate for the last couple of weeks to have such an elevated soul of Vandaswami giving instruction on this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't know if some of you have seen the classes, but we watch through video center. Hare Krishna, come in. And he was so clearly analysing the position of Jadbharat and his connection with King Raghuvinda. So this was amazing. So the fool is revealed by his speech. So Jadbharat was giving true knowledge to King Raghuvinda when the time was right. And the time has to be right. So it is within us. When the time is right for us, we also have to teach this philosophy, this simple truth, that Krishna is the master and we are simply servant, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, forever. And that is the position that we actually cherish. And we preach for no other reason but out of compassion. Like Prabhupada, when he came to the Western world, didn't have to. He was comfortably situated in Vrindavan, and he was an elderly person, It's not easy to do things when you become older. Even simple things for you guys, you know, like offering obeisances and stuff at the present stage. You know, there's arthritis in my knees and pain in my back, and it's really difficult. And I'm thinking, you know, but Prabhupada had heart problems. He had 2 heart attacks while he was on the boat, the Jaladuta coming to America. But he kept going. Why? First and foremost on the instructions of his spiritual master, but then in the same token, it was out of love for the fallen conditioned souls. His spiritual master had completely convinced him that actually the whole purpose of life is to serve Krishna and to bring as many fallen souls back home where he got there. So out of love, out of compassion, he came to the West. So we also have to preach for no other reason but for love. If you develop love, then and you appreciate, and this is also a very important point in Krishna consciousness, if we are grateful and we appreciate the love that has been given to us by His Divine Grace of Prabhupada, by His representatives, the Bhagavad Gita, the gurus that are now teaching us, if we appreciate that, how our lives have been saved, how our lives have changed for the better, then we cannot not pass this on to somebody else. We can't but be grateful and thankful. So this is what I'm trying to get across. So through the Parampara and guidance from our gurus, we must teach the glories of the Lord whenever we get an opportunity, whenever we can. The reality being that this place is a temporary reality, simply a play, simply an act, in which we have been cast. And as devotees representatives of Krishna, we have to act in such a way that we win a Transcendental Academy Award. You know, sometimes we really have to act the role of a devotee, even though sometimes we don't feel qualified, even though we're not so pure yet, still, for the benefit of other living entities, we have to do our best to present Krishna consciousness to the best of our ability. The thing is that with acting, when I'm on stage, when we used to do the plays, I've got a very bad memory. And sometimes I would forget my lines. And I used to have a prompter in the back there, either Cormo or someone else, who would softly read out, your lines like this, you know. So I would look over to him and he would repeat the line. So in the same way, we have prompters in our Krishna consciousness. And the prompters are the Srimad Bhagavatam, our association with other Vaishnavas, our Guru Maharaj. They're prompting us to maintain Krishna consciousness. So even in our role sometimes, and we have different roles, we play different roles in our life. Some people have the role of a business person, you have to go to the office every day, you have to put on the suit, so there's my costume, you put your suit on, comb your hair nicely, put a little bit of aftershave on, and you're in the office, right? This is your role. So in that role, how can you preach? You have to think of ways that I can teach and spread Krishna consciousness. In my role also, I have many different acting roles that I have. For one, I'm a communications officer, so I have to deal with government agencies, I have to deal with interfaith people. When I deal with interfaith people, I have to be the priest, the reverend, well, this is Reverend Elf Lange, you know, he's the representative for the Hindu community. You know, for the Hindu community, I'm nothing but, oh, there's Big Bhakta, he's the Guru, you know, he's the big white, the white Hindu. And that's fine. But then with the government, I have to deal in a certain way. I have these protocols and everything, and I have to act in a very dignified way, which is very difficult for me because I'm a very sort of jovial sort of person. But I have to go really, yes, Minister, you know, yes, Mr. Prime Minister, or whatever. You know. So you have to act. But my reason for doing that is so I can get a message across that they see, oh, this person is Krishna conscious, but he can relate. Recently we did a TV interview for SBS, and I was in a suit, you know, no Tilaka, but I had a little badge of Tilaka on, And they were asking me about Krishna consciousness and what has the Hare Krishna movement done during this COVID-19. And they were, and all the different faith traditions were asked to give a prayer for COVID-19 as a means of giving solace to the population. So there was an Islamic man and he gave a prayer from the Quran and so on, Krishna and so on and so forth. So there's Bhaktivedanta in his suit as Reverend L. Lange giving a sermon. And my prayer was, what do you think my prayer was? Anybody?
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And I said it in the mirror now, our prayer, which is most sincere, is the love and the service that we have for the Supreme Lord in both his male and female aspects. And we ask for service, loving service for him and his protection. Now you may know this verse, this prayer, a lot of people know this prayer. You've probably heard it in the streets of Melbourne. You've probably heard it in the streets all over the world. That prayer, my friends, is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They loved it. It's typed underneath, you know, everything. It was really interesting. So that was the role that I had to play. In another life, in another area, I had to play the role of a chaplain. And I go into a hospital. And you have, and sometimes it's not easy to develop compassion. It's not a thing that you can just switch on. You can feel sorry for someone, but to have real compassion for someone, you have to really draw on Krishna's mercy, you know. And so sometimes you see people in a very catastrophic situation, and you have to have empathy. You have to have giving nature. And so you ask the Lord, please let me act in a way that will help this person, you know, and you have to do that, and it happens. But in a sense, so it is, in a sense, it's still all a play. It's still like that. So the reality being that this place is a temporary reality, and everything is simply a play in which we've been cast. The action of teaching Krishna consciousness will free us from this play. This is what was mentioned in this. When we actually develop our love for Krishna, when we develop our real connection to Krishna, then we finish up this life. Now, it's an interesting scenario when you actually think, and our mind can't comprehend this, but we understand that in Vaikuntha, and even in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan even, there are relationships. That husbands and wives have relationships, and that you live a life with Krishna as the center. This is in the spiritual world. Who's your wife? Who's your husband? What are you? Are you a wife, a husband, or what? These are inconceivable things that we can't grasp at this point in time. But there is that relationship. So I wanted to read from a section which was very dear to me also. From Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, Krishna says that developing this compassion, developing this love, and presenting teachings of Krishna consciousness whenever you get an opportunity is the greatest thing that you can do. If you really want to please me, then this is what you should do. Krishna says, for one who explains the supreme secret, and it is a secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. Number one, Krishna says, I'll give you the input. I'll give you the push to do the exact right thing. And at the end, he will come back to me. So if we actually do that. There is no servant, Krishna says this. So we're all servants of Krishna. We all say that Krishna is the master and we're his servant. But he says, there is no servant in this world, and meaning the whole of creation, more dear to me, nor will there ever be one more dear to me than that person that is spreading this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, this love of Krishna. That Bhakti Yoga is actually the thing that he wants us to teach. This unlimited love for everyone. And we see it throughout history. All the great sages and saints, in various traditions, all they ever had was a love for humanity. So Krishna, all they ever wanted to do was, not that they became involved in some melodrama of these But they give him the source that actually we are all servants of Krishna. We are all nothing but servants of Krishna. We should look to God. Allah Akbar. You know, God is great. In so many traditions, in Christianity, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and love your fellow energy, love yourself. Because what happens is you start to love yourself because you understand that God dwells within you as well. So this love is the most important thing. So let us continue preaching the message of Krishna and not be afraid of our enemies. There is no enemies in this world. Actually, we may concoct some enemies, this person called enemy, but that enemy may be your brother in the next lifetime or whatever. There are no real enemies in this world. And it's pointed out that the only real enemy is lust within ourselves, as it's recorded in that sloka of Bhagavad Gita. We must sincerely serve the Lord and not be deterred by so-called enemies. Even our greatest enemy lives inside of us as lust, as Krishna was saying. And lust means just selfishness, self-centeredness. This is from Bhagavad Gita, and I wanted to read the report so that Kama Esa Prabhupada, the 337 Srila Prabhupada explains. When a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, this is from his report, his eternal love for Krishna transforms into lust in association with the mode of passion. In other words, the sense of love for God becomes transformed into lust, as the example is given, like milk can be transferred into yogurt by the addition of tamarind or lemon, isn't it? That sour quality can change the constituents of milk into yogurt. The Prabhupada continues, then again, when lust is unsatisfied, in this play of life, right? In this play of life, here we have again the analogy of life is like a play. In this play of life, it turns into wrath. If I can't get what I want, I'm going to get really angry about this. That turns into wrath. Wrath is transformed into illusion. The illusion is, I'm the most important thing. Why aren't you satisfying my senses? And then illusion continues one in the material existence. And you keep on going, the desire. Thus, we keep on floating those pieces of straw and water. Therefore, lust is the greatest enemy of all living entities. This lust, Krishna said that this lust is the greatest enemy. Self-centeredness, false ego. I'm the only one, I'm the master. And anybody that disagrees with that is my enemy. So, this delusion induces the living entity to remain entangled in the material world. In this nonsensical melodrama, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Prabhupada continues. Wrath is the manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as wrath and other qualities. If therefore the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into the mode of ignorance, are elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. So one becomes attached to the spiritual component of life. He continues, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself in many of his ever-increasing spiritual bliss, and the living entities are part and parcel of this spiritual bliss. So this is love. Love actually gives you so much bliss. When you can have love for someone else and for your fellow man, that increases the bliss. Prabhupada continues, they also have partial independence, but by misuse of their independence, when service attitude is transformed into propensity for sense enjoyment, they come under the sway of lust. So thereby they are under the sway of lust. Haribo, Vishnu Priyanji, Gitae. Another old, not old, I shouldn't say. Another devotee from long time ago. The material creation is created by the Lord to give a facility for the conditioned souls to fulfill their lusty propensities. So he gives us a stage. The flotsam and jetsam get a stage. Every lifetime. You know, if somebody was really angry that they're a woman in this lifetime, why am I a woman? You know, look at that. The men get all the fame, good jobs, they get everything, you know. I'm stuck here. Well, why am I a woman in this lifetime? You know, in the next lifetime, Krishna, as it says here, fulfills all desires. Okay, my darling, you can be a man in the next lifetime. And a man who is very absorbed by women, can't think of anything else but ladies, goes onto all sorts of different websites and is allured by women, guess what? Krishna provides a beautiful woman's body, maybe not so beautiful woman's body. Yeah? And then you're stuck in that body. So when they are completely baffled by prolonged lustful activities, lifetime after lifetime, Prabhupada says the living entity begins to inquire about their real position. All of a sudden intelligence starts to creep in. Hang on, this is really getting too much. There must be more to life than this. This is, I wake up every morning. Every morning I have to do the same routine, put on the same clothes, go and do my thing, and there's nothing more to life. Everyone in this room has come to that conclusion at one stage or another. There must be more to life. We all sat in a very silent place sometime, and we said, hang on, there must be more to this. And consequently, by the mercy and love of the Acharyas, we're here at this divine temple. And we're actually getting the inspiration and the encouragement to end this play of life and go back home, back to Prabhupada. So that, then Prabhupada says, the living entity begins to inquire about his real position. And then we become inquiring, asking questions. Well, I'm not listening to what I mind this, no. So the question is, how can I use my talents that I've been given in this play, that I've been given as a character in this life play, in Krishna service? Because we are here, and we're stuck in this play. We're doing our role. Yeah. See it as a play. Okay, what has Krishna given me? What's the role I've got to do in this life play? So there are many ways to serve God. Let's provide a couple of them. The first step is to shed this concept of I am I. So we have to get rid of that, because we have to understand that everything in this play, you know, like a producer, doesn't belong to me. Like when I was doing the play, the movie set, it's not that this was my wife, or this was, you know, my son, or this was America, or whatever. I was play acting, you know. So in the same token, we have to realize that everything is actually belongs to Krishna. And shedding our ego, shedding that I am my concept, and truly realizing whatever we have is because of Krishna's blessings, that in itself is serving Krishna. When we use our intelligence to actually understand that everything is actually Krishna's, that in itself is service to Krishna. So that's a good start. So we have to understand that Krishna is the master, he's the producer, he's the director, that's it, in a Krishna conscious way. So let's keep this in mind. So with humility, we're discussing the following points. The first one, serving others is serving Krishna. Serving others is serving Krishna. So we have to think of ways, how can I serve someone else Krishna consciously? How can I serve my life partner? How can I serve the other devotees? How can I serve my Guru Maharaj? How can I serve the temple? A service attitude is very much needed. And the greatest service that you can do for another person is give them the opportunity to advance Krishna consciousness. So each and every one of us will get an opportunity, even if it's a small thing. That's real compassion. If you have neighbors and you have a friendly relationship with neighbors, how can you bring Krishna consciousness into their lives? Any suggestions? In a loving way, how can you, if you have work colleagues or a next door neighbor, how can you bring Krishna consciousness and compassion to them? Anyway. Yes?
Give them Bhagavad Gita and share the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita.
That's fantastic. That's the highest form. But your neighbor is Islamic, right? He's very much, that's it, you know, you know? But he's a wonderful person. How do you present Krishna consciousness to him? Yes, Prasad. That's wonderful. Yes, my dear friend, this is halal. Great. give them prasadam, give the Krishna prasadam. So giving, distributing. And then, if they're interested, sometimes you maybe have people and they perhaps are walking past. Yes? Yeah, right, exactly. Just say, oh, my daughter, or oh, I'm doing a little singing program, and I'm going to be singing. Would you like to come and hear me sing? You don't have to say it's even kirtan. You can say, you know, I'm doing some really nice chants and some beautiful music from India. Oh, we'd love to come. And then you start singing Hare Krishna in a bhajan. They get benefit from that, right? Excellent. Perfect way. Associating with them. Giving them friendship. Friendship is the key to everything. Loving friendship. And sometimes you may not feel like being friendly, but just do it. Ask Krishna to give you the strength and the acting ability. And it's not like you're acting because it's on a spiritual level, but a person wants to hear friendship. Oh, how are you? Ibrahim, my dear friend Muhammadji, how are you? You know, giving that friendship. People thrive on friendship. Because real friendship is love. Oh, this person is exuding love. So thereby that's really impressive. And so everyone you meet, the more and more you meet, you bring this Krishna consciousness. The second point, you can worship Krishna. Whatever simple means you have, it doesn't need to be elaborate, in home worship, at home. So this is directly to Krishna. It's not only that we develop our love for Krishna at the temple, but in our homes also, we have a little altar for Krishna, and we serve and look after Krishna in that way. And connect with the Lord, lovingly. Every day wanting to offer something to the Lord. Coming first thing in the morning when you wake up in the morning and offering your basis to Krishna. It's a very beautiful thing. So again, it's connecting. Third, if you have a talent, say you have a talent in singing, musical instrument, drawing or painting, or managerial or accounting skills, whatever, you can employ this in relationship with serving Krishna and the spiritual master. Again, developing a loving connection. Out of love. And if for some reason you can't do any of the above, all the above is too much, you can't do that, just repeat his holy names and read about his pastimes, Krishna's pastimes. And that's enough. And you'll develop a loving relationship. And leave the rest to Krishna. Krishna will manipulate your life in a way that you think is just fantastic. Serendipitous. You know, things will happen to you which you thought, how is this possible? Krishna will make such arrangements for you that you know his presence, you feel his presence. So that if you can't do anything else, just read and chant his holy names. So the Lord arranges correct service for you through his agents on this earth. So there are many angels. You know, people talk about angels, that you have guardian angels. Well, you have angels. But they're living people, and they're the devotees, the senior devotees, that will guide and direct you. Because they're senior, because they've developed a greater capacity to love. That's the quality of seniority. How much does this person love? That's how you grade a person in their seniority of Krishna consciousness. And those are guardian angels. They will guide you and direct you as to how to nurture that love, like a small little creeper. The bhakti creepers put like a little plant. Right? Those individuals, those gurus, whether it's Diksha or Diksha Guru or your Siksha Gurus, they will help you to cultivate that bhakti lata, that creeper. And help you pull out some of the weeds as well. They may say, oh, it's a big weed in you over there, you know. And you should be honest enough to say thank you for good and allow them to pull that out for you. So the final thing is, and this is something that it's been a point that I wanted to bring up, is don't get caught up in mundane fascinations of this world too much. The world is going on out there. There are many plays and melodramas going on, but don't get engrossed in that it may take you away from the reality. Remember, it's all just a play. You know? And the reason why I say that is because recently, in relationship to this COVID-19 pandemic, and there's a whole lot of talk within the devotee communities about conspiracies. I'm not here to squash any conspiracy, and I'm not going to tell you what you should think or whatever. All I'm saying is that if you give too much attention to this stuff, it will take you away from the real job that you have in this life, and that is becoming a servant of Krishna. And it's, you know, it's, there are so many social media commentaries and so much chatter between devotees about the vaccine and this thing and that thing. You have to make up your own mind. Yes, you have to do a certain amount of research, but then in the same token, don't let it over-captionate your whole life. Don't let it become the be-all and end-all, because Maya will slip in there to really, oh, this is such an important thing. And the reason why I mention this is because devotees actually have become quite critical of other devotees. And to criticize another devotee is the greatest, the most horrible thing that you can do, and the most detrimental thing that you can do for your Krishna consciousness. You know, the mad elephant thing is to criticize or to badmouth the devotee and to offend the devotee. And unfortunately, with this COVID-19 conspiracy stuff, there's been a lot of offensive stuff that's been said about other devotees. You know, I've had people even call me in the room and say, you're an idiot if you don't believe this conspiracy. It's like, please, you know, give me a break. You know, it's horrible. So, in this regard, I want to read a little section. I've been reading a little bit ahead of the classes about the story of Jagaran. And there's a little thing that I wanted to read to you. And the purport that Prabhupada gives to this era. And it goes like this. It's in chapter 12 of this canto, of the 15th canto of Bhagavatam, and verse 13. And it goes like this. Prabhupada says, the symptoms of a pure devotee are described in this verse. A pure devotee is never interested in material topics. A pure devotee, never interested. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has strictly forbidden his devotees to talk about worldly matters. Gram Vrata Na Kavihi. One should not indulge in talking unnecessarily about the news of the material world. So we can be informed, but don't get engrossed in it. Don't waste your time in this way. Time is so precious to a devotee. Develop love more than anything. A devotee has no other ambition than to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's our ambition. This Krishna Consciousness Movement was started to engage people 24 hours a day in service of the Lord in His glorification. The students in this institution engaged in the cultivation of Krishna Consciousness from 5 in the morning until 10 at night. That's our job. They actually have no opportunity to waste their time unnecessarily by discussing politics, sociology, and current events. These will go their own way. Prabhupada's words, profound words. These will go their own way. It's all part of the play. Just see it as that. You have a role in this play at this point in time, that is to present Krishna consciousness in a loving, compassionate mood to as many people as you can. A devotee is concerned only with serving Krishna positively and seriously. We have to be positive and serious. So we have to learn to re-establish our infinite compassion, our capacity to love. We have to really, really re-establish our infinite capacity to love. And in every day, in our everyday life, this is what we should strive for. And see it in the example of the great acharyas and our present day acharyas who are risking their lives and so many things to spread love of Godhead. So I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or questions? Yes?
Can you hear
me? Hang on, let's get the microphone.
Can you hear me? My question is that you said Krishna is our master and we are the servants of Krishna. But when we read Krishna's childhood pastime, we see him as our friend. So how can we understand this? Because our normal friends in this material world can't be our masters.
Very good question. Thank you so much. When we develop a loving relationship with Krishna, we can take many roles. And the highest role is to actually be a friend to Krishna, right? And we even forget, the residents of Vrindavan even forget that he is the Supreme Lord and that he is our master. So in the same way, that loving relationship, we will also forget that in due course of time. But when we have our relationship with our friends and everything, that is, in a sense, a reminder to us also that that can be our friendship with Krishna as well. But even in that relationship, it's not a servant and master, it's more just a friend. We can help that person if they're in, and they can help us. Because if you're really friendly to another person, all you really want to do is help another person. And understanding that we're all stuck in this material world, we help each other like that. You know? We encourage each other in our Krishna consciousness. So say, for example, in your case, you know, you like chanting and you like to sing. And say, for example, your friend might not like to do something at a particular time. Well, you can encourage your friend, oh, please come help sing with me. So in a sense, you're becoming that person's teacher. You're encouraging with love. Come and sing with me. And when they come and sing with you, they're making advancement in Krishna consciousness, so you're helping on a friendly basis. Another time, you may not be feeling so enthusiastic to do the singing. Somehow or other, you're in a bad mood, something has happened, or you, then somebody comes up to you and says, oh, listen, come and sing with us and chant Hare Krishna. You're my friend, come and help. Yeah, okay. And begrudgingly you go, but then when you start chanting, you feel good. So they've helped you out. So it's a question of giving and taking and helping each other. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thanks. Any other questions or comments for the group? Bhakti?
Yeah, well, you might think that... You might think that because singing is your thing, that singing will be everybody's thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to find what interests them.
Yep.
And see if you can engage that their capacity in Krishna's service. So if their thing is cooking,
yep,
then you may say, okay, well, let's bake some cookies together for Krishna. And then you teach them, you know, that, well, we offer everything to God. So if they're not a Krishna devotee,
yep,
you can say, well, before you eat it, you say a prayer over it in your tradition and offer it to God. And then you take the remnants.
And then that way you're teaching that person.
You're teaching
and them. You're taking up that role of teacher.
Yeah.
But you're doing it because of love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Great. Thank you very much for this. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki. Jai. 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 Jai